We're gonna feed these folk before they head to back to Southwestern, and I know they're gonna get on the road pretty quickly. But anyway, mom and dad and family, you're welcome to stay and eat some lunch and see your kiddo there after this. But well, we're gonna move right ahead. We are continuing our series examining what we believe as Christians, using the ancient Apostles' Creed as our guide, and what we've been doing. Let's do again. Let's read it together this morning. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Apostolic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. The first part of the creed, we affirm our belief in God the Father and His work in creation. The second part, we affirm our belief in God the Son and His work of redemption. And now this morning we affirm our belief in God the Holy Spirit and His work of transformation in our lives. We believe in the Holy Spirit, we said, but let's explore that a bit this morning. And what is it we believe about the Holy Spirit, and who is the Holy Spirit? The Bible refers to the Holy Spirit in a number of different ways, different symbols, a dove, a flame, tongues of fire, all those things. If you've read The Person and Work of the Holy Spirit, a little book I wrote long time ago, I mentioned 77 different names or titles or descriptions of the Holy Spirit, who He is and what He does. And we won't go through those 77 things this morning, but let's start very simply right here, that we believe the Holy Spirit is God. That the Bible clearly speaks of the Holy Spirit as God in both the Old and New Testaments. We believe in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. One God, eternally existing and consisting of and presenting Himself in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We believe as well that the Holy Spirit is He and not it. As one of the persons of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit is a He having personality. Jesus, in referring to the Holy Spirit in John 16, says, I will send Him to you. When He comes, He will convict the world of sin. Now, as Pentecostals, we believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit and speaking in other tongues and those things. And sometimes when we talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we tend to use that pronoun it sometimes. Oh, I got it. Well, you didn't get it. The Holy Spirit is a He. And so we recognize that. Paul warns the church not to grieve the Holy Spirit. So He has what we would consider a personality, that He can be grieved, that He speaks, that He sees, and He communicates. So the Holy Spirit is a person in the sense of being a part of the triune Godhead, not a lesser entity of some kind. And then we believe the Holy Spirit is the hidden story behind all of history. From the beginning, the Holy Spirit is everywhere present. From the beginning of time, from the beginning of creation, Genesis 1 says, and the Spirit of God was brooding over or hovering over the waters or over the deep. And so the Holy Spirit was involved in creation. It was the Holy Spirit of God that was breathed into the clay that God fashioned into a man and made him a living soul. It was the Holy Spirit who divinely inspired and spoke through the prophets of the Old Testament. As we affirmed this morning in the Creed, that Jesus was conceived of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. Jesus' public ministry began when the Spirit descended upon him in the form of a dove at John's baptism. He's led by the Spirit then into the wilderness, where he undergoes 40 days of temptation. And the Bible says, and he returned then from that time of testing in the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus is raised from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. And according to the writer of Hebrews, Jesus offered himself as the sacrifice to the Father through the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that's poured out at Pentecost that empowers the church and gives us boldness for ministry. At salvation, we're born again by the work of the Holy Spirit, and Jesus comes to dwell in us by means of the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that guides and directs us. It's the Holy Spirit who empowers and emboldens us and enables us to be witnesses of Christ and to take the gospel to the world. And it's by the power of the Holy Spirit that one day these mortal bodies will be changed and put on immortality and will be forever with the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is the story behind the story. In his book, Fundamentals of the Faith, Peter Kraft wrote, all of human history is a three-act play, creation, fall, and redemption. And the third act, redemption, has three scenes. Old Testament times, the revelation primarily of the Father. The Gospel times, the revelation primarily of the Son. And the age of the church, beginning with Pentecost, the revelation of the Spirit. And Kraft said, first it's God outside us in the Old Testament, then God beside us in Jesus in the New Testament, and then God inside us after Pentecost, three stages of love's intimacy. Then he points out, in a sense we can divide history into the age of the Father, the age of the Son, and the age of the Spirit, and we're living in history's last age. We live in the age of the Holy Spirit. Stuart Briscoe was a pastor up in the north, told of an old English preacher speaking to he and another group of young people years ago back in England. And he told them that when the Father finished his work of creation on the seventh day, figuratively, he sat down. His work was done. And when the Son finished his work of redemption and ascended to heaven, figuratively, he sat down at the right hand of the Father. But then the old preacher said, now I want you to look in your Bibles and find out where the Holy Spirit has sat down. Where does it say that? And then he said, well, I'll help you. It doesn't say that. And the reason is the Holy Spirit's work is not yet completed. The work of the Holy Spirit is not done. He's still working in us, in and through His church, equipping and empowering us, drawing people to Christ, convicting people, and pointing out to the world the work of Jesus accomplishing the Father's plan and purposes. Well, here's a real obvious point for you, but notice that we believe He is the Holy Spirit. Stating the obvious there, but He is the Holy Spirit, not the unholy Spirit, not the relaxed standard Spirit, not the casual, it really doesn't matter too much what you do, how you live Spirit, but He's the Holy Spirit. That suggests something about what our life and our practice should be as followers of Christ and those who are now indwelt by the Holy Spirit. Some of you remember Dick Gruber, who was the children's ministry director for the Assemblies of God years ago, and he came and did a thing here, and he had a whole deal about the work of the Holy Spirit, and he would dress up in a, anybody remember that? He had a trench coat and like a big magnifying glass, like a whatever detective, and he'd do that thing, the Holy, and he'd kind of look around like, we're Spirit. You can't see Him, but He's always with you. It's a great, I don't know, the kids probably didn't remember, but I've never forgotten it. It was a big deal. The Holy Spirit. Well, anyway, He is the Holy Spirit. Jesus said of the Holy Spirit, you know Him for He lives with you and He'll be in you. He dwells within us. It's the Holy Spirit that lives within us, calling us to and working to produce within us a life of holiness. And if we honor the Holy Spirit and listen to His guidance, we can avoid those unholy things that tend to corrupt and to destroy us and are counterproductive in our lives. The Apostle Paul declared, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you've received from God? You're not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. Paul was writing to a group of pagans in Corinth that had given themselves to temple prostitutes and everything else. And Paul's saying, no, it matters what you do with your body because your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit. And so we're to act in holy ways. We're to give ourselves to God in ways that are pleasing to Him and honor the holiness of God. So we're to live holy lives as temples of the Holy Spirit. And then we believe that, another obvious one, that He is the Holy Spirit. The older versions of the Scripture use the term Holy Ghost. And there was a point in time when I know people in some Pentecostal churches were kind of, they got aggravated or upset when they started referring to the Holy Spirit as the Holy Spirit rather than the Holy Ghost. Ghost somehow, that good King James sound to it or whatever, that they felt like there was a difference. There's a difference between the Holy Spirit and the Holy Ghost, right? Jess, you know about that. And in fact, in those churches, you didn't say Holy Ghost, you said Holy Ghost, right? So you got the Holy Ghost. Well, that's a whole different deal somehow or another. And some of you understand, and the rest of you are going, what in the world? And it's okay. It's just a little cultural deal. And but the original word translated as ghost or spirit meant wind or breath. And a spirit, the Holy Spirit is the breath, the life-giving force and energy of God. He's the creative power of God. So that whatever God is doing in us and in the world, the Holy Spirit is actively involved everywhere, for He is the breath and the life force of God. The Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit dwells within us and is at work in us. And as we allow Him and participate with Him, He works in our mind and our emotions. He works through our personality. He works through our experiences. He works through the Word of God as we read it and study it and apply it to our lives. The Spirit is working through all of these things to produce in us the character and the nature of Christ. He's transforming us. He takes, by His Spirit, the Holy Spirit is renewing our mind. He's redirecting our will. He's refocusing our emotions. And He's producing then, as Peter said, we're partakers of the divine nature of Christ, His nature being revealed and worked out in our lives. Paul refers to this work of the Holy Spirit and this character of Christ that's being produced in us as the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5. These things are the character qualities of Christ, and this is what the Holy Spirit desires to do in us and produce these qualities in our life in abundance. So Paul tells us the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And then he said, and against such things there is no law. And then he said, since we live by the Spirit, let's keep in step with the Spirit. There's no law to restrict or limit the amount of the Holy Spirit's fruit that is to be produced in our lives. Not even in Oklahoma will they pass a law that says we just don't want people to be too kind or too patient or too gentle. You know, the police are pulling you over. I'm sorry, that was an act of kindness. That's going to cost you, buddy. We're not going to have that going on around here. That's never going to happen. There's no law against these things. Nobody's going to jail for being too gentle, right? Or too patient or whatever. So, that's tough. Okay, anyway, you got the point. So we can't love too much. We can't have too much patience or be too faithful. And Paul says, so there's no law against this. And since we live by the Spirit, let's keep in step with the Spirit. Let's keep up with the Holy Spirit as He produces His fruit in our life. And then we believe the Holy Spirit is our counselor. And several times in John 14 and in John 16, Jesus refers to the Holy Spirit as the counselor. For instance, He said, and I'll ask the Father and He'll give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world can't accept Him because it neither sees Him nor knows Him, but you know Him, for He lives with you and will be in you. Think about it. The world can't accept Him because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. Well, you can't see. You can't see the wind, right? You can't see the breath of God. You can't see the Holy Spirit. And there's no reason to know Him if you've not encountered Him. But we, He says, Jesus says, you know Him because He dwells inside you. You listen to Him. He'll be with you and He lives within you forever. So some versions translate this word as comforter. And hopefully everybody understands why the words sometimes are slightly different. The truth is Jesus likely spoke Aramaic as well as Hebrew. But the New Testament is written in Greek and then the Bible's translated into Latin and into English. And so we look for the most precise word to help us understand the meaning. And the word translated here as counselor or comforter is the Greek word parakletos. And para, that first four letters there, you know what a paramedic is. It's someone that comes alongside to help. And that's really what the word means. So para means someone who works alongside the medical community. Kaleo means to call. So it just means one called alongside to help. Well, we believe the Holy Spirit is one who is called alongside to help us as a comforter, as a counselor. Comforter not in the sense of patting us on the hand and putting a cool rag on our head, although that sounds comforting, but comes alongside us in the sense that He is here to strengthen us, He's here to provide for us, He's here to speak to us on behalf of the Father and the Son, and also to speak on our behalf to the Father and the Son. He helps us in prayer, He helps us in confession, He helps to guide and direct and empower, and again, producing the character and the strength and the courage of Christ in us. And so He comforts and counsels as a companion, and a timeless companion in our lives. And then we believe the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. And notice in the passage, Jesus referred to Him as the Spirit of truth. That's good news for us because the Spirit of God only deals in what is true and real. He's not going to do something deceptive. He won't give you something unholy. He won't lead you into something that's false or deceitful or counterfeit. He is the Spirit of truth. And so you can trust Him. Always you can trust Him. You say, yeah, but can I trust myself to rightly discern the leading of the Holy Spirit? Well, let me show you what Jesus said concerning the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And He gives us some insight on how we can be sure that everything is as it should be. He said, "All this I've spoken while still with you, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you." And then in the next chapter, He says, "When the Counselor comes, whom I'll send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, He will testify about me." And then in the next chapter, He said that when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He'll guide you into all truth. He'll not speak on His own. He only speaks what He hears, and He'll tell you what is yet to come. He'll bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. The Holy Spirit, Jesus said, is going to speak truth to us and will lead us into truth. And this is how we know we can trust that He's leading us into truth. I've had people say, well, if you start praying for the Holy Spirit, is there a chance you can get something counterfeit or some other kind of spirit? No, He's only going to lead you into truth. It's like checks and balances. We know that we're receiving the truth because the Holy Spirit is only going to bring to us what Jesus has provided for us. He's going to teach us what Jesus has for us. He's going to remind us of the things that Jesus has said. The Holy Spirit will illuminate the Word of God as we read and study it. He'll bring to light and life the words of Christ for us. He'll testify of Jesus. He'll glorify Jesus. He'll point to Jesus. So here's how you know. If something doesn't line up with Jesus, if what somebody's preaching to you or teaching you or saying or doing, if it's not consistent with the teaching of Jesus, if it doesn't reflect the nature of Jesus as revealed in the Scripture, then we can be sure it isn't coming from the Holy Spirit. Jesus, His servant nature, His other-centered nature, all of those things are going to be seen, and the Holy Spirit is always going to point to Jesus. The Holy Spirit doesn't draw attention to Himself, nor does He draw attention to other people. He testifies of Jesus. That's what Jesus said. He glorifies Jesus. He points to Jesus. He acknowledges Jesus. John the Apostle wrote, "This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God." The Holy Spirit testifies of this truth as He points us all to Jesus. The Holy Spirit saying, "No, this is Jesus." And let me say it again. The Holy Spirit's not there to manipulate people. He's not going to try to, you know, it's like, well, the ends justify the means or whatever. That's not the case. He is going to lead you into truth. He'll always speak with truth. He is real, and there's nothing phony or fixed about it or whatever. No gimmicks with the Holy Spirit and with Jesus. It's going to be consistent. And then finally, this morning, we believe in the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit enables and empowers believers to live a Christ-centered life. In John 14, Jesus said, "If you love me, you'll obey what I command." And we read that and I think, well, boy, I love Jesus. But it's the command part that I kind of struggle with sometimes. I love Him, but I don't always obey what He says to do. I don't know what's wrong with it. I have trouble obeying His commands. The things Paul says that you know, some of those things that I want to do, I do the very opposite. The things I know I shouldn't do, I find myself doing those things. And so, I don't know, maybe I just need to work harder at it. But I'm trying, you know, but maybe I'm just not trying hard enough. Well, hard work is good. And Jesus didn't say, just lay down and I'll do, you know, I'm going to make this happen for you. Like, God, if you wanted me to go to church, you would have picked me up, dressed me, put me in the car, driven me over there, and dropped me off. And so it doesn't work that way. There's, you know, we're going to have to put some energy into this a little bit. You know, give God a hand there somewhere or another. But anyway, you understand what I'm saying? But He expects us to participate in the process. But here's the good news. Jesus didn't expect you to live this obedient life without His help. He didn't say, "I want you to obey all my commands. I want you to do what's right in this." And then say, "And now I'm going back to heaven and you guys are on your own, figure it out the best you can." That's not at all what happened. But look at these verses together. Verse 15, he said, if you love me, you'll obey what I command. And the very next verse he says, and I'll ask the Father, and he'll give you another counselor, one called alongside to help you, right? To be with you forever. The Spirit of truth. You know him, for he lives with you and he'll be in you. And I won't leave you as orphans. I'm going to come to you. So Jesus says, here, I want you to obey my commands. I want you to do what's right. But you're not on your own about this, because I know you probably can't do it without me. But I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. And he's going to empower you and enable you. It's going to be like I'm right there with you. He's going to give you wisdom. He's going to guide you into truth. When you're thinking, well, what should I do about that? He's going to bring to your remembrance the things I've taught you and the things I've said. He'll even take things that are mine that you don't know about yet. And he's going to make it known to you, the things of the future. So the Holy Spirit takes up residence in our lives and begins to change us and change things. That all of a sudden we're thinking, well, you know what? Yeah, maybe I can obey his commands because the Holy Spirit is present in my life to help me. And he doesn't just change us. He changes our wants and our desires. He produces a desire in us to want to obey, to want to please Christ. It's one of the ways I have people say, well, I don't know. Maybe what if I've committed the unpardonable sin or something? Well, you know what? If you've done that, you don't want to please Jesus. You could care less. You wouldn't worry about hell, heaven, or anything else. And so here we are thinking, I don't want to displease God. I want to please Him. I want to obey Him. Yeah, that's because of the Holy Spirit is at work in us to change our wants and our desires. Think back to when you weren't serving Jesus. The last thing on your mind was, oh, it's Sunday morning. Let's see, I could sleep in a while, grab some pizza somewhere. Or I could get up, comb my hair, brush my teeth, get dressed in better clothes, and go to church on a snowy Sunday. Yeah, that's what I want to do. You know, that's kind of my argument about, let's invite all our lost friends to a Super Bowl party. They don't want to come to church to watch a Super Bowl party. I'll tell you where I'd want to go to watch it, but it wouldn't be here. But what happens when the Holy Spirit changes us? He changes our wants and desires. We want to be with God's people. We want to worship. We want to pray. Well, I didn't want to, but my mom said, well, you're beside the point. But anyway, but we're here because he changes our wants. He produces a desire in us. He rearranges our priorities. He gives us a new sense of what can be done. And understand, he isn't threatening us with do this or else. That's what preachers do. I threatened you the last two Sundays about judgment. You're going to have to stand before God. So he's not doing that. Instead, he's enabling and empowering us so that we want to do those things, that we can do all things through Christ because he strengthens us by the working of the Holy Spirit. Now here's the deal. If you agree with that, like, well, yeah, he's changing our desires. Well, here's the thing. No longer can we say, I can't do that. I mean, I want to obey his commands, but I just can't. Well, no, because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The Holy Spirit's at work in us. What we're really saying is, I won't. What we're really saying is, I don't want to do that. It's not I can't do that. He enables us. Jesus said, if you love me, obey my commands. And the answer is not, I tried and I just can't. The answer is, yeah, I asked for your Holy Spirit and I know you were there and you helped me, but I just decided I wouldn't. All right? So it's not I can't, it's I won't. Ask for His help. Ask Him to empower you with His Holy Spirit. He said, and I'll send the Holy Spirit, a comforter, one called alongside to help you, to strengthen you, to help you with those desires, to refocus your emotions, to redirect your will so that you can do those things that are pleasing to God. And you can, if you will, by His Holy Spirit, do what's right. And He's also empowered us to be His witnesses to the whole world. So that just before Jesus ascended into heaven, he told his disciples, I want you to stay here. Go back to Jerusalem. Stay there until you're empowered by the Holy Spirit. And Jesus knew that they lacked the spiritual power that would be needed to go into all the world and be his witnesses. So they obeyed. They went back, went to the upper room, waited, and on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit was poured out upon the disciples. And now, emboldened by the Holy Spirit, Peter stands with the disciples, no longer frightened of the city, no longer frightened of the authorities. And he tells the crowd, this Jesus whom you crucified just weeks ago has been resurrected from the dead, and we are all willing to sign on the dotted line. We are witnesses. We met with him, saw him, ate with him, talked with him. And then we watched as he ascended into heaven. He's been exalted to the right hand of God. And then Peter said, and he received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and has poured out what you now see and hear. And the Holy Spirit convicted the people. And in response to the sermon, the crowds asked Peter, what shall we do? What shall we do? Notice they didn't ask, what shall we believe? They asked, what shall we do? And Peter told them to do three things. Repent, believe in Jesus, and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And Peter looked ahead by the Holy Spirit into the future, perhaps all the way to this Sunday in 2015 when he told the people, and the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. That's us. And we believe in the Holy Spirit. And so the question this morning is, what shall we do? It's not enough to just recite the creed like we did this morning. I believe in the Holy Spirit, but now what shall we do? What shall we do about what we believe? Well, we're going to participate and we're going to do what Peter said. We're going to repent of our sins. We're going to believe in Jesus and follow Him in discipleship and baptism and in study and obeying His commands. And we're going to do it with the help of and by the gifting of and empowering of and enabling of the Holy Spirit who comes to dwell within us, who wants to baptize us and to fill us with His presence and with His power so we can be the people that He's called us to be. We want to do more than believe. We want to do. And so here we are saying, Lord, I open my life to You and come and let Your Holy Spirit move in my life. I want to be open to whatever You have for me, the empowering, enabling gift of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, if you ask the Father, He delights in giving good gifts to the children, and He'll give to you the Holy Spirit if you ask Him today. People say, well, I don't know about all that, and what about the tongues? And it just seems kind of weird. Was there anything weird about God? Well, mystery, yeah, mysterious. But there's nothing to be afraid of when you ask the third person of the Trinity, the third person of the Godhead, to do what He desires to do in your life, to come and be manifest in your life. There's nothing scary about that. And that's what I want us to do this morning. Invite the Holy Spirit. Peter, again, said, repent, believe, and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Open your heart to the work of the Holy Spirit this morning, for we believe in the Holy Spirit and that He's still working in the hearts and lives of people. Would you stand this morning with me? Thank you. Would you just open your heart to what God desires to do in your life this morning? Father, we come to You this morning. We believe that that promise of the gift of the Holy Spirit is for us today. And that if we repent and believe and respond to You in obedience and to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, You have for us the gift of the Holy Spirit. And we ask You today, come Lord Jesus, by Your Holy Spirit and fill us today. If you've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit with speaking in other tongues, ask Him for that experience this morning. Open your heart to that heavenly language as the Holy Spirit prays through you and gives worship and honor to God. Lord, we honor You this morning and we look to You, Lord. We ask You. Father, we examine our own hearts this morning. When they asked Peter, what shall we do? The first thing he said was repent and believe upon the name of Jesus. And so, Lord, we repent of sins. We repent of anything that stands in the way between us and You. Take our sins away, Lord. We repent and we believe that You are the Christ, the Son of God. All that we confessed and affirmed this morning in the creed, we believe it. That You were conceived of the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, were crucified, You died, You were buried, You descended to the place of the dead, and You rose from the dead and ascended and are seated at the right hand of God the Father, and You're coming again to judge the living and the dead. We believe that about You, and we believe into You, and we believe upon You today. And we make You Savior and Lord, and by that supernatural means, we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit today. Come into our lives, Holy Spirit. Come produce the character of Christ in us. Come embolden us and prepare us, Lord, so we can truly be witnesses in this world. Lord, we recognize that the world seems to be growing darker. And rather than frightening us this morning, Lord, we are encouraged today because the darker it gets, the brighter one candle can shine. And that we have the opportunity and the responsibility by the enabling and empowering of the Holy Spirit to truly be light in a darkening world. But we can't do it on our own. We can't overcome on our own. We do it by the blood of the Lamb and by the anointing of the Holy Spirit and by our testimony. And so, Lord, let us be that light in our family, in our school, in our business, in our community, in our city, in our world. Let your light shine through us. Let your power be with us. Lord, we quoted it several times today that Jesus said, and He'll be with you and will dwell within you. Holy Spirit, I'm glad we don't have to try this on our own. We don't have to try to overcome to be good enough on our own, but by God's grace and by the enabling work of the Holy Spirit, we can be all you've called us to be. Lord, I'm not going to stand before you and say, I couldn't do it. And I sure don't want to stand before you and say, I wouldn't do it. I want to be able to say, Lord, I did what I did by the power of the Holy Spirit. And that my declaration and testimony was, I can do all things through Christ. And by the power of His Holy Spirit who is at work in me and in us today. Lord, let this be a church alive with Your Spirit and with Your good grace. In Jesus' name we pray and we thank You for it. Amen and amen. God's Spirit is with you today. If you're a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, walk in the power of His Holy Spirit and let His light shine through you as you go in His mercy and grace. Be safe out there. Remember life groups tonight, and we'll see you Wednesday night or tonight or whenever the next time you show up again. Thanks again to our guest, Ransom. Amen.